My voice sounds so far away. I feel like the earth is disintegrating around me, that I am in free fall. Can't breathe. Can't think. In an instant, I close the distance between me and Anna. I fall to her side, my arms slipping under her torso. I cradle her in my arms. There's no pulse, no sense of life left in her. What have you done, brother? I choke on my breath, unable to process, to accept what I'm seeing.
Anna.
I shake her like an idiot. I cup her cheek.
Anna.
A tear slips out, hitting her chin. I press my lips to hers, trying to breathe life back into her. Nothing within her stirs. I could make her body grow, but there's nothing wrong with it. It's simply that the soul residing in it is now gone. I am being unmade. Distantly, I'm aware of the gusting winds and the shaking earth. I'm aware that trees are snapping and plants are dying, and it's my doing. My brother took her, just as he promised. No discussion, no negotiations, no interest in hearing the rest of what I was going to say. What have you done?
You've seen death often enough, Fennon. I assumed you understood.
Bring her back. I'm beginning to shake.
You gave all of my brothers a fair trade. That's all I want.
War and pestilence were both willing to save humanity. You're not.
I know for a fact war and pestilence would have happily razed the earth, no questions asked, if it meant keeping their wives. That's simply the way we work. My grip on Anna tightens. Slowly, I look up at Thanatos, and I am filled with menace. There is a reason men don't cross me and live.
Bring her back!
Once again, the rain is picking up, and lightning is flashing overhead, and the earth is openly revolting, and every blade of grass around us is dead. My brother stares at me piteously.
You have my terms.
I stare down at Anna's lovely face, and her shining, sightless eyes. Next to me, death looms.
My other offer still stands.
His offer. His ridiculous, shitty offer. I let Anna go, her body slipping from my arms, the ache inside me growing and growing. I wasn't lying when I said that hurting her would be the end of everything. I rise to my feet. Already I can feel the land dying, and the last of Taubaté's skyscrapers falling to the ground under the quaking earth. The wind swirls around me, and hail pelts at the dead foliage. I hadn't realized I cast aside my scythe. I pick it up now, spinning it in my hand, and approach my brother.
You would hurt me.
In response, I swing my scythe, aiming for his neck. Thanatos barely moves in time. I lean into my follow-through, spinning with the arc of my weapon. I bring the scythe up overhead before arcing it back down, the tip angled to impale Death's chest. My brother has to leap back, his expression alarmed.
Famine!
Rolling my wrist, I swing the scythe around, seamlessly readying another attack. One of Thanatos's black wings snaps out, hitting my arm with enough force to knock the weapon from my grip. No matter. I come at him again, bringing my arms up and fisting my hands. I have a dagger strapped to my side, but I don't bother going for it. I want to feel the burst of pain as my flesh lays into Thanatos. My arm snaps out, and I punch Death in the chest so hard his silver armor dents inward. He grunts, but has barely any time to recover before I follow the hit up. Another damning blow. Another dent in his armor. I am not a man. I am something else, something bigger, and all I feel is pain and anger. Again and again the blows come, each one landing against Death's chest and caving in his armor. He barely has time to catch his breath, a sensation that is strange and foreign to him, as he stumbles back. Fall, damn you. Lifting a booted foot, I kick out at his knee. He moves out of the way, his hand at the edge of his armor. I can hear the fastenings ripping clean away as he tears the breastplate off of himself. I wouldn't remove that if I were you. This is going to hurt a lot worse. Vaguely, I remember the first time I felt pain. There's nothing like it. It's terrible to endure, and a shock to a newly wrought horseman. Death casts it aside anyway.
You wish to fight me, brother? Fine.
He waits for me, and I descend on him again, fists at the ready. I throw another punch, my grief and anger consuming me. But the blow never lands. Death catches my closed fist. His dark eyes meet mine as his hold tightens. All at once, he twists my hand until... I grunt at the sharp, shooting pain of my broken bone. Thanatos releases my fist. I clench my teeth, my breath hissing out of me as my arm falls uselessly to my side. If he thought a mere broken bone would stop me, he thought wrong. I bring up a booted foot and I kick him square in the chest. The force of my blow so powerful his feet leave the ground. Death pitches backwards, hitting the earth hard, his wings pinned beneath him. Nearby, his horse whinnies, shuffling away from us. I'm on my brother in an instant, my good hand going to his throat. His breath comes in ragged gasps, and I can see him wincing from the pain. I tighten my hold on his neck, and he reaches up with his hands, clawing at my grip. He lets out a strangled noise. I smile malevolently at him. Now he knows what it means to be powerless. Under my will, Earth splits apart violently, opening up beneath my brother. Mud begins to slip over his wings, pulling him down, down.
I'll bury him alive. Then he will understand the crushing, suffocating feel of grief.
Right when he's sure he will die, I will make my own bargain with him. One where Anna lives, and I don't have to destroy the world as payment for it. Death grabs my good arm, his hold tightening. In the next instant, I feel odd, weak and tingly. I choke a little on the sensation before I realize
he's sucking the very life out of me.
It's the same ability I have, only his is much, much more powerful. I choke again, my hold loosening around his neck. It's a struggle simply to breathe as I try to force my body to revive itself. Death pushes me off him easily then. Now it's his turn to loom over me. He places a boot on my chest to hold me down.
Do you still want to fight me?
His black wings spreading wide behind him. In response, I kick out at him, a blow he easily dodges. He laughs, bending down to grab me. He drags me up by my shirt. My feet touch the ground for only a moment before I hear the great thundering thump of Death's wings. Then he's lifting us both into the sky, our bodies rising higher and higher. My breathing is still ragged, and though my anger burns hot, my life is still ebbing away from me. The weaker I grow, the more my grief batters at me. I feel painfully human. We rise high above the treetops as Thanatos drives us into the heavens. The sky around us is ablaze with lightning and wind. Hail pummels our skin, and our hair sticks to our faces. We're covered with mud, the two of us a little worse for the wear.
Brother.
I meet his depthless eyes.
You may have started this fight, but you know it is I who finish all things. Forgive me.
With that, death drops me. For a moment, I'm weightless. So much so that I almost forget I have a form. I am the wind and the rain and the earth once more. But then the lacerating pain of my injured arm reminds me. I am alive. Anna is not. It takes the merest thought and a plant begins to grow. It's thin and malnourished because I have so little left in me to grow life. But I manage to make it grow tall enough for my purposes. It reaches out and lovingly catches me from the sky. Its spindly arms lower me until my feet touch the earth. I'm dusting myself off when death slams into me, knocking me back down to the ground. I grunt as the pain from my broken arm radiates through me, the agony so sharp my vision clouds. I blink away the darkness, and once again, there's my brother, looming over me. He gazes down at me, looking as patient and steady as ever, damn him. And his eyes are full of pity. The pity undoes me. I've burned my anger out. All that's left is a weakened, broken man whose heart is full of grief. I tilt my head a little, and out of the corner of my eye, I see Anna. Maybe it's a trick of the light, but already she's beginning to truly look like a corpse. A keening sound works its way up my throat. Everything hurts. It all hurts so damn bad.
Please, brother.
Death rearranges himself, pressing a knee on my chest. His dark wings are splayed wide, hiding the sky from me.
I won't bring her back, Famine. Not without your agreement. You can hate me. You can fight me. But you cannot change my mind.
A few years of torture might make death reconsider, but I won't dare do to my brother what mortals did to me. We are not the real problem, after all. I turn my head and look over at Anna again. Lovely, vivacious Anna. A tear slides down my cheek. I won't let her slip away. Not now. Not ever. All I want is to have her back in my arms. That's all. My gaze moves to Thanatos. I close my eyes and swallow.
All right, brother. You win. I accept. Just bring her back.
I gasp in air, my eyelids fluttering open. Famine stares down at me, my body cradled in his arms. As soon as he sees me awake, he pulls me into a tight hug, crushing me against his armor. Of their own accord, my fingers thread themselves into the horseman's hair, holding him to me. What? What happened to me?
I'm sorry.
Sorry? My mind is groggy. There's a metallic taste at the back of my throat, and I have this deep-seated and inexplicable feeling of being off. I turn to the Reaper. How did you get to me so quickly? Did I faint? The last thing I can remember is that Famine stood across from me and death. I pull away from Famine, searching for his brother. Death meets my gaze, his expression pensive. Famine cups my jaw with his hand. He's looking at me like I'm the most precious thing in the world.
No.
Then what happened? The answer is right there in that taste at the back of my throat. Or maybe it's my skin, which is cold and clammy in the most unnatural of ways. But I want the Reaper to deny it, to deny that I died. He takes me in for a long time, and then he slowly nods his head, I shudder, my spooked eyes moving back to Thanatos. He killed me, and he did it so quickly that I didn't even realize it. I try to recall anything that came after that, but there's nothing there. I couldn't have been dead for very long. We're still in that same bit of forest I last remember seeing, and the stormy sky looks about the same. But if Thanatos killed me, then why am I breathing? The second awful realization hits me. My gaze snaps back to Famine. You agreed to it, Death's second offer. That's why he's apologizing to me. The Reaper squares his jaw.
I did.
It took months for Famine to set aside his murderous ways, but apparently only a few minutes to pick it back up. All because of me. I would have never imagined that the fate of the world might actually depend on me one day. I've always assumed my life was fairly insignificant. But somehow, without my say, I've now fucked everyone over. I grip Famine's arm. He winces, his arm jerking under my touch. I glance down, seeing the odd bend to it. I release it immediately.
What happened to you?
It's clear there is more to the story that happened while I was gone.
Why did you agree to it?
I don't care that we have an audience. I don't want to go back to the way things were. I barely coped with the horrors I already witnessed. I don't know how much more I'd be able to bear. Famine's face is grim.
Because, despite how much or how little I care for humanity,
he touches my face again,
I still care for you much, much more.
That's the most beautiful, terrible thing he could have told me. It's a compliment and a sentence all rolled into one. The Reaper pulls me in close, pressing his lips to my ear.
All is not lost, little flower. Let death see what it means to be human. If I can be swayed, so can he.
Famine pulls away a little to meet my gaze.
There is still hope for your world.
More people will have to die.
More people will die regardless.
I hear the clatter of metal, and my gaze moves from him to Thanatos. The final horseman is picking up his armor and wiping the mud off. He inspects the silver breastplate, which looks badly dented, before tossing it aside. Death moves over to the two horses that wait nearby. He grabs their reins, then heads over to where Famine and I sit, leading the horses along behind him. He steps in far too close to me, his presence stifling. I can still remember that lethal hand on my cheek. Death is huge and muscled like Famine. Truth be told, he might be slightly bigger. And he has that same sharp beauty that is somehow too pleasing to the eye to be fully human. His skin is pale, his cheekbones are high, and his jaw is sharp. Those deep eyes of his are old. So old, I can't bear to look at them for too long. But his lips have a rueful curve to them. His hair is so dark, I imagine it shines blue in certain light. Now, however, the rain has plastered that hair to his face. Where Famine is capricious and conniving, Death seems solemn and ancient. He's beautiful in an enigmatic sort of way. My gaze moves back to Famine, and for a moment, I simply stare at the two of them. They are leviathans, and I am nothing. But that's not true. Death hands the reins to Famine.
Mount your steed, brother.
The Reaper looks at the proffered rein for a moment before taking it. I can practically feel the weight of Famine's task falling back on his shoulders. An aching sort of despair fills me. And this is all because my life means more to Famine than everyone else's. If that suddenly weren't the case, maybe the Reaper wouldn't agree to Death's terms. My gaze cuts to a dagger sheathed at Famine's side. For about 2 seconds, I consider doing something self-sacrificing for the benefit of humanity, like falling on Famine's blade. But I'm not that broad.
I'm a bar-fighting, pussy-hustling, scrappy-ass bitch, and I'm not going to just go along with this quietly.
So I grab the hilt of Famine's sheathed dagger and withdraw the blade, weapon in hand. I spin on the other horseman beside me. Then, I do to Death what I could never do to Famine. I stab that motherfucker. Thanatos stares at me for several seconds, an odd, surprised look on his face. I'm still holding Famine's blade, even though it's embedded itself into the horseman's abdomen.
Anna!
I ignore Famine's alarmed voice, focusing all my attention on the horseman in front of me. Death's hands go to the wound just as I withdraw the blade. He gazes down at the wound. There's not much to see other than a growing wet stain on the black shirt he wears.
Anna.
Famine grabs me by the arm and drags me away.
What have you done?
My gaze is still locked on Death. I should feel some remorse. It's odd that I don't. Then again, my cheeks are wet and maybe it's the rain, but maybe it's my eyes. I don't know. It's been a weird, awful day. If he thinks we should all die, then it's only fair he knows what it feels like. I stare at the final horseman as though in a trance. Death's hands move to the wound, and I smile. I fucking smile. It took an apocalypse, mass murder, and a few near-death experiences, but I think I finally lost it. Using Famine's dagger, I point at the wound. Blood is slipping down Thanatos' fingers.
That's for taking my parents and everyone else, you fucker.
Famine drags me back with his good arm, and I can feel him trembling. He grabs the blade from my hand, wipes it on his trousers, then sheaths it at his side once more. Beyond the Reaper, Thanatos sways, then drops to his knees. He's making pained noises, and even from here, I can see his limbs shaking, undoubtedly from the pain.
You've never been on this side of death, have you?
The Reaper hauls me onto his horse the best he can. I can still remember with perfect clarity the awful sensation of the blades that entered and exited my own body.
Feels like shit, doesn't it?
Anna, stop.
Thanatos focuses gaze on me. I expect him to look angry, but those ancient eyes are agonized. Reaching out, Death angles his palm at me.
Brother, stay your hand. We have a deal.
Her stabbing me wasn't part of it.
The Reaper's hand settles on my thigh. He stares down at his brother.
And like you said, this place is not fair. Welcome to the land of the living.
Famine clicks his tongue, and turning his horse around, the two of us take off.
You little firebrand.
The wicked love of my life pipes up once we're out of earshot.
Remind me never to cross you.
Now that the adrenaline is wearing off, I'm beginning to shake. In response, the Reaper pulls me close. Are we really just going to leave him back there? I look over my shoulder. I'm beginning to feel the first tendrils of remorse. Or maybe it's fear? The Reaper gives me a look like I'm the most insane human he's ever crossed paths with.
You stabbed him. Would you like to go back and see how forgiving death is?
A shiver works its way down my spine. No, thank you. I've already died enough times today. The two of us cut past our house, which looks a little worse for the wear now that it's endured several earthquakes and a supernatural storm. Famine doesn't bother to slow. I barely get a moment to glance at it before we pass it by and head for the nearest road. Oh God, we're really doing this. I take a deep breath, but there's no bracing myself for all the traveling and killing that lies ahead of us. Where are we going? I dread Famine's answer.
We're going to get my brothers. It's time this ended, once and for all.
The Four Horsemen, Book 3, Famine, by Laura Thalassa, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2021, Laura Thalassa, all rights reserved. Recorded by arrangement with the author. Production copyright 2025, Graphic Audio LLC, all rights reserved. Unauthorized download and/or duplication is prohibited. Narrated by Felicity Cross as Anna Da Silva. Also performed and narrated by Brandon Marlowe as Famine. Featuring Wynn Delano as Thanatos, Damon Allums as Aethor Hasha, with additional performances by Julian Daly, Andrew Kilpa, Christopher Williams, Rob Moreira, Eric Messner, Daniel Yaka, Holly Adams, Matthew Bassett, Rainer Gabriel, Adrian Garcia, Chris Stinson, Brian Kim McCormick, Drew Kopis, Christopher Walker, Bianca Bryan, Lolita Horn, Barbara Pinnellini, Erin Lynn, Yasmin Toison, Elias Khalil, Jessica Threet, Terence Aselford, Gabriel Michael, Jessica Schley, Steve Winall, Darcy Lee, Nazia Chaudhry, Nora Sofian, and Keith Charles. Adapted for graphic audio and directed by Elliot Dalton. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Emily Creerand. Original theme by Vanessa Thurlow. Original music by Jameson Hunt. Produced by Colleen Delaney, Scott McCormick, David Zitney, Casey Green, and Aaron Coe. Executive producers Angie Cornette, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. If you enjoyed The Four Horsemen, Book 3, Famine, why not try The Dresden Files by Jim Butcher? Keep listening for a preview of Dresden Files Book 1, Stormfront, in Nimbler Than Famine Doing the Samba Alone in the Dark, Graphic Audio.
Harry Blackstone Copperfield Dresden. Irresponsible use of true names for summoning and binding others to your will violates the fourth law of magic. I remind you that you are under the doom of Damocles. No further violation of the laws will be tolerated. The sentence for further violation is death by the sword, to be carried out at once.
Now, have you ever been approached by a grim-looking man carrying a naked sword with a blade about 10 miles long in his hand in the middle of the night beneath the stars on the shores of Lake Michigan? Well, if you have, seek professional help. If you have not, then believe you me, it can scare the bejesus out of you. I took a quick breath and had to work not to put it into a quasi-Latin phrase on the exhale, one that would set the man's body on fire and reduce him to a mound of ashes. I react badly to fear. I don't usually have the good sense to run or hide. I just try to smash whatever it is that's making me afraid. It's a primitive sort of thing, and one I don't question too much. But, reflex-based murder seemed a tad extreme, so rather than setting him on fire, I nodded instead. Evening, Morgan. You know as well as I do that those laws apply to mortals, not fairies. Especially for something as trivial as I just did. And I didn't break the fourth law. He had the choice whether to take my deal or not. Morgan's sour, leathery face turned a bit more sour, the lines at the corners of his mouth stretching and becoming deeper.
That's a technicality, Dresden. A pair of them.
His hands, broad and strong, resettled their grip upon the sword he held. His unevenly graying hair was tied into a ponytail in the back, like Sean Connery's in some of his movies. Except that Morgan's face was too pinched and thin to pull off the look. I did my best to keep from looking nervous or impressed. And truth be told, I was both. Morgan was my warden, assigned to me by the White Council to make sure I didn't bend or break any of the laws of magic. He hung about and spied on me mostly, and usually came sniffing around after I'd cast a spell of some kind. Now, I'd be damned if I was going to let the White Council's guard dog see any fear out of me. Besides, he would take it as a sign of guilt, in the true spirit of paranoid fanatics everywhere. So all I had to do was keep a straight face and get out before my weariness made me slip up and do or say something he could use against me. Morgan was one of the deadliest evocators in the world. He wasn't bright enough to question his loyalties to the Council, and he could do quick and dirty magic like few others could. Quick and dirty enough to rip the hearts out of Tommy Tom and Jennifer Stanton's chests, in fact. If he wanted to.
Thanks for listening to this graphic audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,700 titles to choose from. Listen to over 225 binge-worthy series. We feature titles in genres like science fiction, fantasy, romantasy, westerns, mystery thrillers, comics, and more. Check out our exclusive series such as Deathlands, Rogue Angel, Outlanders, Tangent Knights, and Agent of Exiles, which are only available in our dramatized adaptation format. Experience a radically different type of audiobook produced with a full cast, sound effects, and cinematic music. Listen to a movie in your mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Our dramatized adaptation titles are available at all major audiobook retailers and platforms. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and other social media platforms. For more information and samples of all our titles, visit our website at graphicaudio.net.